This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. Why do we worry? What's at the heart of it? Why does it feel so ingrained in us, and how do we shake it? This is episode 11 of season 2 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle, featuring our producer, Ryan Viramontes, who's in the studio right here with me. We're in a new studio. This is the third week that we're in this one.
Right,
we're
right.
Trying different ones.
Yeah.
This is freezing in here. We're in the back room in the church. It's a super tall ceiling. I don't think the heat gets down here.
No, I don't.
So I'm in. If you're watching, I'm in a parka here. It's a little chilly, but
yeah.
We'll get through. It'll keep us engaged. I
right.
Think.
Yeah. Hopefully the cold doesn't get to us. You know, and we start like shivering halfway through.
Yeah,
you
if
know?
You hear us, if you hear us like shivering in right. our voices, you'll know what right. that is.
We're such Southern Californians, you know, like where it's like it drops below 70, and you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
Did we move to Wisconsin?
What is happening? This room would be great in the summertime though, because
yes,
it does stay cool.
It is nice.
No matter what. It's
yes.
cool in the summer and yeah. in the winter.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to both our listeners and our viewers. I have a fun story to tell you. We have two new listeners.
Oh, cool.
And I usually wouldn't, you know, say this, but I think they're it's unique enough that if they're listening, I hope they are.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
I think they'll like the shout out.
Okay.
So yesterday I met this couple at our church and I was saying, you know, welcome, and I could tell they were new, and they were welcome, and I said, great, how'd you hear about us? They're just found us online, and then, well, hopefully, you know, we can see you next week. They said, oh, we won't be back.
Oh.
And I'm going, well, thanks. That's great. Sorry that it was a bad experience for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But
is there anything we can change?
Yeah, I know. They said, no, we're just traveling, you know.
Oh,
we're
okay.
in town for 1 week. Because they are performers on the Disney cruise ship.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They are Ariel and Thor.
Really?
On the yeah.
Yeah.
And they were just in port for a week.
Sure.
Started in Australia or New Zealand or
wow.
something, and now they're here.
Yeah.
They spend like 8 months at sea.
Yeah.
And they only had a week, and they wanted to. Go to church.
Yeah.
And they found us.
Cool.
And so, and they were really intrigued with the message, intrigued with the whole concept of Jesus questions. They said, can we listen to some of the other questions? And I said, yeah, it's on our website. And then I said, and also we have a podcast. They go, oh yeah, we already saw that in the bulletin. We're already following.
Nice.
So
nice.
Hopefully Ariel and Thor
yes.
are listening today.
By far. Our listeners keep getting more and more cool. Last week we talked about, you know, the listener that drives a motorcycle.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah. I still need to introduce you to him.
Yes, you do. And then now Ariel and Thor? I mean, what's next? You know what
yeah.
I mean? The sky's the limit.
Exactly.
You know?
So we're all over the world.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah.
Wherever
yeah.
that cruise ship goes. That's where they're listening. It was really interesting talking to them. There's no church or anything for the employees, or I didn't even think necessarily for the guests on the cruise ship. So passengers. So they just he started like a Christian fellowship.
That's awesome.
To study.
That's
on,
awesome.
On the ship.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And anyway, so hopefully they're listening. If
yeah.
they are, hello to Thor or Ariel. Really nice to meet you. And sorry, I forgot their real names, but
That's
I was
okay.
like, when they said that, I was just like enamored.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, what to play such iconic, you know, characters, you know what I
right.
mean? Like, how cool is that? You know, that's just awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said they work like 70 hours a week, though. It's got to be brutal.
Yeah. Well, especially with all of the families and kids and like,
yeah.
I mean, I know how my kids are, so I can just imagine times
yeah.
that by thousands. Oh
right.
my gosh.
Yeah,
that's intense, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is Unhurried, and our goal is to revisit, kind of take a deeper dive into the message that we talked about on Sunday mornings. The focus of this current podcast series is Jesus Wants to Know. And what we're looking at is these questions that Jesus asked in his ministry here on earth, the questions that he asked individuals, but often those questions still resonate with us today. They still have something to say to us today. And this week, the question is, why do you worry? The part of it is the way that it's set up with the graphics is the fridge magnets,
right?
And that's, we've talked about that in the past on a previous podcast. Just these refrigerator magnets that spell out Jesus wants to know. And I made a challenge a few weeks ago asking people, say, if you have those refrigerator magnets at home, go ahead and take the question of the week, put it on the refrigerator. Someone did. They sent me a picture. I told you about that. Well, this week someone told me, yeah, we also did that, but we didn't have any, so we went out and bought them.
Oh, wow.
They said they're hard to find. They said they found them at Walmart, and then they said, so what am I supposed to put on the refrigerator? I said, you just put the question of the week, which is this week, Jesus' question, why do you worry? And then it reminds you all week long.
Right.
So it's a little bit what this is supposed to be. This is supposed to be sort of a chance to look at the question that Jesus asked in a little deeper way and live with it during the week. So maybe you don't have it on your refrigerator, but you have it on the podcast. And we have a chance to think about it a little bit more deeply today. So the question, why do you worry, comes from Luke 12, 25 and 26. It's part of a broader set of questions where Jesus asked, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, I love that, you can't do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? So it really is a smaller part of these two questions that Jesus asked, you know, really probing his listeners, in this case his disciples who were he was talking to. Why do you worry? What's at the heart of it? Let's think about that. He knew why they worry. But he wants us to think about it.
Right.
Why do we worry? Mm-hmm. And I admitted in the message right from the start, I am a card-carrying worrier. It's weird. Sometimes I think I'm doing great, not worried at all. I feel like I'm in a good place, and then something happens, and I'm just sucked right back into it. And I go, I thought I had a handle on this, you know? And then I go, you know, there happens again.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm a little like that too. I resonated with that when you said that, where I try not to worry, you know, and then all of a sudden it's just like a crashing wave, you know, and then all these things you forgot to do or all these things that, you know, compiling on, and you're just like, oh no, like I was not prepared for this.
You know? Like you can be talking to a friend and they're all worried and you're like, oh, you're like, don't, you don't need, God's got it. You're fine. Yeah. You know, you're like this beacon of faith, and then suddenly, you know, the smallest thing could happen, and I'm like, what was I talking about? I can't even handle this.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mentioned in the message there are three reasons that I worry, and Jesus, you know, addresses all three in his teaching here. But one of the reasons is because I think it's critical. Something becomes everything. It can be just a small thing, but that one little something suddenly becomes everything. It becomes all-consuming, and it hijacks our thoughts. It drowns out everything else. It becomes this this obsession that all you can do is think about that. Mm-hmm. And so one reason is because suddenly a small thing, or maybe a major thing, becomes everything.
Yeah,
it becomes all-consuming.
Yeah.
And another reason is because I think it's my job. I felt like when I left the hospital with our first child, you know, when we were able to leave, I suddenly became a worrier. It came with me.
Yeah.
It's like it never left.
Right.
It's like before that, I wasn't that much of a worrier. Do you feel like being a parent kind of makes you more of a worrier?
Yeah. I remember when my, you know, I have much younger children than you do, but like, I remember when kind of same thing, like we were at home and, you know, at the time, you know, the baby, you know, they're babies, right? So you kind of like, you know, give them to the mom and then she gives them back to you. And then you like put them down in the crib. And then I felt myself like waking up, You know, and this was, this was, you know, past that little infancy stage. So he's like sleeping through the night pretty much, or sleeping at least 6 hours or 7 hours. And I would found myself still on the baby rhythm where I would wake up every hour or every, you know, 2 hours. And I would just like put my finger under his nose, or like I put my hand like on his chest just to make sure he was like breathing.
Right.
You know, like that was my biggest worry, was I just wanted to make sure he was still, when I left him, he was breathing. And I want to make sure he's still breathing, you know? And then now as they get older, you start worrying about other things. Like, are they making friends? Are they following along with the materials at school, or like, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And I remember I asked my father-in-law, I go, do those worries go away? You know, like, you know, it's like, at first you're just worrying if they're breathing.
Let me guess what he said.
Okay.
Cause I'm maybe in his category. He said, absolutely not.
No, that's exactly what he said. He said, it honestly sometimes feels like there's more, because now you're going, you know, my father-in-law has four kids and, you know, you have three. And so he's like, now we've all doubled or tripled, you know, he's like, so now I'm not worried about my sons and my daughter. I'm worried about her husband and my sister, my daughter-in-law's. And now we've all, you know, like I said, we've all doubled ourselves or tripled ourselves. And now we've got grandchildren.
Right.
And he's like, now I've got, you know, instead of having four people to worry about, I've got, you know, 11 now or whatever.
Yeah.
I think he has, I think there's 8 or 9 grandchildren. So even more than that. So, you know.
Yeah. It just becomes exponential.
Yes.
And you go, what has happened to me? I used to be like so, you
know, so chill.
Yeah. And now suddenly, it's funny how that happens.
Yeah.
It really is. It is true. It kind of becomes your job description. You think, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
I love that picture of you like, is my son still breathing? You know, like just looking in, does the blanket going up and down?
You know,
is there air coming out of his nostrils?
Right. Well, it's just like your world becomes so big at that point, and then the your worries just don't stop. It just keeps, you know, it's like crashing waves. You know?
I know when I talk about worry, it resonates with people, because there's some people that tell you that they never worry, but even them, they're probably more like me on a good day when I feel like I don't worry, and then, you know, you catch them on a bad day, and they'll be honest about it. But, you know, a lot of people struggle with this. Most everybody struggles with this. So if, you know, it felt like, you know, it was connecting with people. The third reason that I worry that I mentioned yesterday was that I think it helps. I really feel like, well, if I think about all these things, maybe I can anticipate some things, and, you know, I'm going to be ahead of the game a little bit if things go south. I think it helps. And then from the passage that we looked at, from the passage in Luke 12 there, you realize that Jesus realigns our thinking in all of these areas.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was really helpful and somewhat humbling when you realize why our worries really sabotage our faith so much. I want to spend time with one of them. That's what I want to go a little deeper dive, but just kind of catch up. You know, one of the reasons I just mentioned that I worry, and I think others do as well, is because we think it's critical. Suddenly that small thing becomes everything. It consumes us. And Jesus says life is so much more than what consumes us. He basically puts it this way. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, or your body, what you're going to wear. Which is kind of ironic, because life and body seem pretty like important things.
Yeah.
Like it would be easy for us to defend. No, that's pretty critical. My life, my body, you know, our health, our destiny, our careers, our goals, the biggest parts of who we are, that's pretty important. But he says, don't worry about those things, for life is more than food and the body is more than clothes. And so I wanted to really let Jesus's words remind us that life is so much more than the things that consume us. We spent some time on that.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, I said that, you know, I worry because I think it helps, and spent some time talking about how that's actually, it doesn't help. It only hurts. Worry only sets us back. It doesn't move us forward. And Jesus addressed this pretty clearly in 25 and 26 of Luke 12, where it says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, Why do you worry about the rest? And the idea is that worry only robs us of our time and never adds to it. It always takes away. It always keeps us from really the life that God intended for us. Mm-hmm. And so we can't add to our lives. At least worry can't.
Right.
There's way, you know, you can be healthy, you can be safe. There's ways that you can add to your life. You can, you know, make sure your longevity is good, but worry isn't one of them.
Right.
Worry never, if anything, it takes away from your life.
Right.
It could literally take away from your life, or at least it takes away from your enjoyment of life.
Yeah.
Rob your sleep. It robs your joy. It robs your peace. Right. Robs your effectiveness. All of those things.
Well, I also feel like it also robs the impact of the moment that you're in, you know, because your mind's kind of somewhere else, you know, so you're not in the present. You know,
right.
You know, like, because when you're kind of worrying about something, you're almost kind of going through the motions of your everyday life, and you can sometimes miss those, you know, and especially with kids or, you know, family or things like that, like, you can miss those little moments, you know what I mean? And sometimes it, you know, we have to be able to kind of keep our mind on what Jesus said and be able to go like, okay, I'm not going to worry about that. I can't change the outcome of it. I'm just going to be in the present moment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's really true. Even as you're saying that, I can picture that exactly how we miss out on the moment because there's this backstory going on in our head,
right,
about something else or even what's happening, but you're worried rather than present.
Yes.
Rather than really in that moment.
Right. Right.
Experiencing what God wants for you right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, maybe it's different because, you know, everyone kind of worries differently and things like that, but I can find myself thinking, you know, of like out being outside with the kids or something like that, and I'm thinking about something else. I'm going like, I don't need to be thinking about that right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Right now we're playing, you know, Pokemon and princesses, you know what I mean? Like, you know, right. Like this is what I'm doing right now.
Exactly.
You know? So exactly. This is what I should be focused on.
Yeah.
You know, not worrying about.
Yeah. No, things. I think that's a lot of people. I think that probably is going to really resonate with our listeners for sure. And the other one, and this is the one I want to go a little bit further into, but is when I think it's my job to do it. Jesus says worry is not only irrelevant, it's irreverent because it's not our job. It's God's job to take care of our lives, to provide for us. And so when we worry, we're actually assuming, we're treating ourselves like we're the God of our own lives and we have to figure out everything, plan everything, know everything. We have to be all knowing.
Right.
That's what worry sort of, you know, it sort of, you know, gives us this false impression that I have to be all knowing. I have to know, I have to anticipate everything. And if I can think about every possible angle and anticipate every thing that could possibly happen, well, God's the only one that can do that.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
Right.
And we need to leave it with God. And of course, Jesus said this to me in the most compelling way. In Luke 12:24, he said, "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds." And I wanted to take a kind of a deeper dive into that because this is something that I didn't have time to go into in the message, but for our listeners and viewers, a chance to maybe expand that a little bit more. Thinking about Jesus' words, consider the ravens. God just provides for them. I think about Thor and Ariel on that cruise ship. They get probably their food all. You know, you go on a cruise ship, food's everywhere.
Right. Right.
I've only been once on a cruise ship.
I've never been.
Not going to happen again. But for those who like cruise, good for you. That's a different story.
I would feel like you would feel very. What I know about you, is you would feel too, like claustrophobic. Like too, the borders are there.
Yeah,
you know, because there's the ocean. You know, and you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I what I know about you, you like the open space. You're very open world.
Well, you know? That's probably true, but I actually liked the cruise, but Cindy did not. So
okay. There you go.
Yeah, it just wasn't, you know, she got vertigo afterwards, you know, and so that was like, okay, we're probably not going to do this again.
Yeah, I went whale watching with my in-laws. you know, in all of my brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws. And I was like, I can't go on another one. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm just going to bow out on the next one.
Yeah.
They had a grand old time.
Yeah.
And there's pictures of me on everyone's phones with my head over the side of the boat. And it was just terrible. It was literally terrible. It was a really bad experience. Yeah. So.
I think that's part of the lure of the cruise ship, though, is the idea that there's endless food.
Sure.
Like everywhere, you never have to worry about a meal.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's sort of the picture here is that these ravens, they don't have to worry about their food. God takes care of it, but we do. We always worry about our income. Are we going to have enough? You know? And so Jesus says, consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And we're more valuable than them. Now, what I wanted to think a little bit about is there's a parallel passage to this. And in Matthew, Jesus says similar, but there he just says the birds of the air.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we're used to hearing. Consider the birds of the air. Mm-hmm. That's from the Sermon on the Mount. But here Jesus says, consider the ravens, you know? And so now he's more specific, not just all the birds,
right,
but ravens. So I wanted to think a little bit more. And again, I didn't have a chance to go into this, but why does Luke talk about ravens? And the reason is because ravens had a particular significance in Jewish culture as well as in the Bible. And so I love this. First of all, ravens were considered unclean. Mm. So that to me is a powerful picture that Jesus, or point that Jesus took an unclean animal and says that God cares for them. In a Jewish culture, maybe you would think, well, sure, the clean animals God really cares for, but he's talking about this unclean animal,
right,
that was also within God's care.
Right.
In Leviticus 11:15, they're listed among those that are unclean, and even though they're impure, God still provided for them, mm-hmm, which to me makes Jesus's point even stronger. If God takes care of even the unclean kind of fringe animals, or ravens, which probably weren't, you know, they weren't the most popular bird or the most, you know, the one that would make it in their conversations.
Right.
Usually it was sort of like off the radar a little bit. Insignificant ravens, how much more will he take care of us? I imagine even some of our listeners might be sometimes tempted to think, you and I might be tempted to think at times, you know, I'm just so unworthy for God to take care of this, especially when we're sort of the ones that got us in the trouble. You know, if we're worried about something that we kind of messed up on, you know, or it was like our own fault, then it's like, well, God doesn't, you know, he has no obligation to get me out of this one.
Right.
I got myself into this mess. And yet, God, we feel unworthy and we feel insignificant, and God still cares for us.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And to me, I love that.
Yeah. I often say I have to ask for forgiveness in the double digits, you know, where it's like I just have to keep asking for it over and over again. You know, I'm just racking up the points. You know, but it came to mind too yesterday when you were speaking about how even last week, when we were talking about the Good Samaritan, you know, and how Jesus used the Samaritan in the Jewish culture was somebody that they would have looked down upon,
right?
You know, or not have valued, mm-hmm, as they value themselves,
right?
And how he used the Samaritan to be the star of the story,
yep.
You know, and so it, once again, he's just, you know, reiterating that, you know, if Jesus cares for the Good Samaritan, you know, if he cares for the Samaritan, then he cares for the raven, he's going to care for you.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. And great connection. And it doesn't matter if they're clean or unclean.
Right.
God still cares for them.
Still. Yeah. Right.
And there's, I heard this a while back, you know, it was popular to have those wristbands that say WWJD. What would Jesus do?
Yes.
And I heard someone say, you know, my mind would be like, Jesus wouldn't got him into this mess in the first place. You know, it's kind of like, well, that's what mine, my wristband would say. You know, you'd have to, you don't ask the question, what would Jesus do? Because he would never have been, you know, gotten the trouble I got myself into.
Right, right.
But even when we're worried about things that, you know, we probably have not handled the best, or maybe just an oversight, or just you were like, oh, I didn't even think about that. You know, God is still at work.
Yes. And, yes, very much so.
So the raven becomes to me a striking point that God cares for us even when we feel like we're unworthy. And if he does care for the raven, he must certainly care for us as well.
Yeah.
The next reason I wanted to lean into ravens a little bit is the point that Jesus makes. He says, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses or barns, yet God feeds them. So I did a little deeper dive into this because my wife and son are both birders now. They both really enjoy like bird watching.
Yeah.
And they keep like track on their phones, the birds they see and all this kind of stuff. So they're really into it. And I'm kind of, I guess, more of a... appreciating it from a distance,
sure.
like just hearing
sure.
about their conversation,
sure.
but not, you know, totally into it. But
right.
I wanted to see, do ravens actually store food, or are they just like every day it's a brand new adventure, like there's no food? Well, it turns out they do actually, they do store their food a little bit for later consumption. They have this behavior that's known as a caching. And they hide some of their surplus food, especially if it's like more rich in fat, and they hide it from other birds, and then they know where it is, and so they can save it for later. So what is Jesus saying here when he says, you know, they don't store, or, well, if you look closely at what Jesus says, his point is that they don't farm. He
right.
says they don't sow or reap. And he also says they don't have storerooms or barns. And he's really making this connection between birds and humans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is uniquely human for us to be, you know, to farm, to sow and to reap and to build barns and to build storerooms. You know, these kind of what would be typical in an agrarian culture mm-hmm. back when Jesus taught and walk the earth where farming was such a big part of their livelihood. It would have been really typical for them to have these huge storerooms and barns and all that. But unlike people, these birds, you know, they might tuck away something here or there for later in the day or later in
right.
the week, but they don't have this huge surplus. We're the ones that get consumed with security, long-term security.
Right.
Like
right.
we, it's not just today, this week, we're like, we start worrying about next month, next year. What about 5 years from now? What's going to happen in the future? And we can get so obsessed with the future that we don't live the daily bread. This week, look what God's done this week. We miss out, kind of like what you're saying.
Yeah.
We miss out on the present.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're so focused on the future, and. I almost said focused on the future. No, focused on the future.
It's Monday morning.
It's Monday. I'm surprised my lips work at all, you know, today. Yesterday was a long day. We had both church in the morning, and there
yes.
was a memorial service in the
right.
afternoon. So
right.
it was a long day
right.
for both of us. We
yes.
were both here a long day. So
longer for you. You had to do more heavy lifting than I did. So,
I'm surprised,
you know,
my lips are working
yeah.
right now.
Me too. You sound great.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, you get the point. They were either focused on the future or focused on the future, one way or the other. They that's something that we as humans are just known for,
right?
You know,
right. Right.
And one of the things about that is so, you know, we can learn from these simple animals is they live much more in the present.
Yeah,
you know, it's
yeah.
maybe, you know, tuck something away for a little bit later, but it's not build a whole barn and
right.
worry about our security and worry about all our resources and all that obsessing
right.
over
right.
securing the future.
Right.
The there's one more reason that I thought ravens, that Jesus used ravens, and I think it's really interesting, and that is it actually he's referencing the Old Testament. Mm. That in the Old Testament, both in Job and in the Psalms, God is described as the one who feeds the ravens when they call out to him, and also when he feeds their young. And maybe that's a cool reminder for parents, you know, that God not only cares for us, he cares for our kids too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with the ravens become this great example. I'll read to you from Job 38:41. It says, it's a question with the answer is rhetorical. It's obviously God. Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wander about for lack of food? Who's the one who provides for the raven? Well, it's God. God is the one who provides. And so this to me shows me that Jesus wasn't just using some random example, but he was intentional about choosing the raven.
Mm-hmm.
He's drawing on scripture, reminding his listeners of what they would know
mm-hmm.
from
right.
both Job and from Psalms. Maybe they hadn't picked up on it, but then Jesus mentions it and they go, oh yeah, remember, we know these stories mm-hmm. and we know that God he was promised to provide for the raven. And I think it reminds us that we need to turn to scripture mm-hmm. when we're worried. Just as Jesus said, when you're worried, remember what the scripture says.
Right.
He's referencing what they would have already had in their Bibles, the Bible at the time, they had the Old Testament. They would have already had in their scriptures, and we too will do well when we're worried to go to say, what does the Bible tell us?
Right.
Go
right.
back to those things, like this passage from Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. If once again, you know, like how we've been discovering, you know, in this sermon series, everything that Jesus is saying, he backs up in the scriptures, you know, and he just reiterates, you know, fact again, that God was faithful to the people of the Old Testament, just like he was faithful to the people in the New Testament, and he's faithful to us. You know, if we seek after him, if we go to him with our worries and our cares and our burdens, he's there, you know, and his words are there, you know.
I think about it like layers of consistency, where you see these layers in the Bible where God says it early and then later and then again, and then
right.
Jesus reinforces it, and then later Paul maybe says something more about it. And you start to see that the Bible is building upon itself.
Right.
And it's a reminder of what a anchor we have in the scriptures,
yes.
especially in times of worry.
Yes, yes. There was a pastor friend of mine that I always used to say, if he did it before, he can do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like no matter what it was, no matter what was going on in his church or in his life, he'd always just say, you know, if God did it before, he'll do it again.
That reminds me of the song that you chose for the end of the service. Was perfect. It kind of had that feel.
Yes, like it did.
You've been faithful,
right,
over
right,
and over
right.
again.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was. I thought, wow, that's exactly what we needed to sing at the
yes,
end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, Firm Foundation by Cody Carnes.
Yeah, yeah. What's like a lyric from that?
It's Christ is our firm foundation. You know, there's like no. He's our cornerstone. He's our stronghold. Like, you know, it's like, and he's never failed us and he never will.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the line. It's something about like, he won't.
Right. He won't. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He won't. Yeah. You just kind of say that, you know, he won't fail and he won't.
Yeah.
So yeah, the rains came and the winds blew
and
our God, you know, stood still, you know? So yeah. It's strong in that. Yeah.
Well, I geek out over preaching. I mean, there's not much I'm good at, but there's one thing I do know about, and that's preaching. I've read a lot about it, studied a lot about it, listened to a lot of it, done it for a long time. So I've thought a lot about preaching. I'd be hard pressed to find other skills I have in my life.
You've got plenty of skills.
I don't know about that. I'm trying to think about what else would be on that list. But preaching is something I know. And one of the all-time great sermons that was ever preached was preached about 800 years ago by a guy named Saint Francis of Assisi. And the thing that I love about this is so unique because it was entitled A Sermon to the Birds. And he wrote a sermon that was meant to be preached to the birds. It quickly becomes apparent that it's actually more than just for the birds.
Right,
it was to the birds, but it was for us.
Right, right.
But it's really a clever, clever sermon. And St. Francis, who loved animals and was really loved nature, preaches a sermon to the birds, and he calls them his sisters. And he begins this way. I'm just going to read you a couple lines from his sermon, because to me it really fits well with what we're talking about. He says, "My little sisters, the birds, how indebted you are to God, your creator, and always in every place you ought to praise him. And then he goes on, he talks about how God saved them on Noah's Ark and gave them the ability to fly, and you know, all these blessings that God had done in the lives of the birds. And then he says this, and this is what ties into the verse we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. He says, you don't plant, neither do you reap, and yet God feeds you and gives you streams and fountains for you to drink, the mountains and valleys for you refuge, and the high trees to make your nest. And because you don't know how to spin or sew, God clothes you, you and your children. Therefore, since your Creator loves you so much, seeing that He has bestowed on you so many benefits, therefore, my little sisters, beware of the sin of ingratitude and strive always to give praise unto God. And I love that so much. He's preaching to the birds and reminding them how well God takes care of them, how much He does for them, how much he's already done in the past and does for them all the time. And then says, you need to, don't forget to be grateful to God. And of course, the birds are not the ones that need to hear that. But by preaching this sermon to the birds, we're reminded, if the birds need that, how much more do we need that? Jesus would say the same to us. He would say, God has done so much in your life. He's given you so many things. He's provided so faithfully. Be careful of the sin of ingratitude, which to me is just another name of worry.
Right.
Worry is really ingratitude. When we worry, we're, you know, and that's kind of convicting to me, but when we worry, we're really not being grateful for what God has done and how reliable and faithful He's been so far.
Right.
We're sort of challenging that, or we're questioning it, or we're wondering about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. That's so good. I feel like I'm still processing that. You know, like that is just so good. You know? I was just thinking about it, like with my, you know, my two little daughters and stuff, you know, and they, you know, my middle one is starting to kind of get into like young girlhood and worrying about how things look, you know, and how things fit on her and things like that, you know, and I'm just, you know, I think she looks great no matter what she wears, you know, but she's starting to kind of get to that age of that worry, you know, and I'm trying to instill in her that, you know, that gratitude of, you know, you're beautiful and God made you perfectly and, you know, wonderfully made, you know, so, but understanding all of that, you know, and going and not, you know, not worrying about that is tough. You know, really, really tough.
You see how early it starts to creep in.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Worry.
Very much so.
Yeah. It's part of what it means to be human.
Yeah.
And so we all struggle with it. It's a great concept. When you start talking about your older daughter, I was thinking about, you know, little kids, you know, setting up their stuffed animals and preaching a sermon to them, you know, and having them all around. And it's not really their stuffed animals.
Right.
It's to them
and
to maybe their parents or who's ever listening, you know.
Right.
And that's sort of what St. Francis is doing right here. He's sort of preaching, he's like imagining the birds, you know, coming around you and listening to a sermon. And then a few people walking up going, what in the world is this guy doing? He's crazy. He's preaching a sermon to the birds. But in reality, what he's saying is meant for us too, even more so.
Very true.
It's
very
a quirky historical thing, this Sermon of the Birds. But to me, I think it's fascinating. I thought it was super creative and that kind of stuff that I geek out of.
Well, it still rings true today. You know, like the words that he said, the values that he was trying to instill.
Yeah.
You know, still ring true today.
Yeah. Well, because it was based on what Jesus said in the Gospels and in Matthew and, of course, in Luke, where we're looking. And anyway, maybe next time you read that passage, underline the word ravens.
Right.
Because it's by design that Jesus chose the ravens.
Right. Right.
And I'm glad we had a chance to talk about that a little bit here in the middle of the week as. And for our listeners who could listen in and follow along, hopefully that's giving each of us a little bit more confidence that God knows what He's doing. He's in charge. He's caring for us in ways that we can see, in ways that we have a good record of, if we would really take time to look at it, and in ways that we can't see, ways that we don't know, but we can be confident that He's doing that. Well, this has been a deeper dive into a sermon I gave from Luke 12 called Why Do You Worry? If you want to go back and listen to that or listen to it again, it's online, greenvalleychurch.com. Thanks, Ryan, our enthusiastic listeners and watchers every week. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.